Welcome to Church Media HQ. I'm Church Media HQ contributor Jeremy Linentine. And as we begin this episode, I want to remind you to subscribe wherever you're watching or listening. Our podcast is available on both Apple and Google Podcasts, as well as Spotify and many other platforms. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you happen to be watching on YouTube or Facebook, take a moment to like this video, which helps the content get seen by other church leaders like yourself. Lastly, you'd be truly awesome if you could leave us a 5-star review in Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think. We'd love to hear your feedback. And by rating and reviewing, you're again going to help other church leaders like yourself discover this valuable content. Now let's get ready for today's conversation with myself and the creator of Church Media HQ, Luke Clayton.
Yeah, well, I think, yeah, intentionality, you can't hit that hard enough, because that is something that when you do, that is where you find the danger, like we said, going, kind of circling back to what we talked about earlier, you kind of fall in the danger of one or two things, of either just doing things just to do them, or you really become more about your ministries and programs become more self-serving, and it's about kind of keeping people happy more than it is about reaching new people. And that is a all too real danger in the church world. And another thing that happens, you know, in general, and this is a callback to way earlier, is, you know, I've heard it said, nothing fails like success. When you are doing something that seems to be working, like you said, for so many reasons, maybe because you don't want to upset people, you just don't want to rock the boat, or maybe just because it's just easy. Because I will say, man, it is just easy to do what you did last year, do what you did last time, just kind of cookie cutter, follow the template, whatever. And sometimes there's a place for that. Always be willing to challenge yourself and be intentional about it and think, why are we doing this? And continue to and then kind of, you know, make your plan off of that. And I'll say this as well about the planning thing. I always like to mention this when we talk about event planning and looking ahead. You know, making a calendar for the year is ideal. I really do believe that. I think that is a goal to strive toward. But if you are in a place where you are really you're just not doing that, that seems overwhelming, then I say this. Okay, my biggest challenge is this: sit down. Obviously, at the time of recording, we're at Easter. By the time you hear this, we've got to put it out before Mother's Day, because we've talked Mother's Day stuff. So it's probably sometime in April. Sit down and just try to think about, okay, what are the next big three things that we could do? That maybe that is something that's just already on the calendar, like a Mother's Day or whatever it may be. But just say, hey, what are the next three? If you can't come with three, then just do two. But just do not fall in the rut of only thinking about, well, what's the next one big thing? Because when you fall into that trap of only focusing on the next one big thing, that's when it doesn't matter how much planning you do. It doesn't matter if you, and I will say that too, it doesn't even matter if you've taken the effort to plan ahead your church calendar and your event calendar, if you're still just focusing on the next one thing. You're still just going to constantly fall in that trap of putting the urgent over the important, and that is just not, like you said, it's no way to live. That's a great way of putting it.
Well, and what you said, yeah, it's true. If someone just looks at a whole year and it's like, well, it's way too much to plan. I don't think that's true, because I think you're telling yourself that because pretty much, I mean, churches do a lot of things the same from year to year. And that's fine. There's always going to be Christmas, and you better make a thing of it. I mean, it's the birth of the Lord. And there's always going to be Easter. But maybe take Luke's challenge that there's three seasons as far as a church is concerned. And you should at least be planning out the next season. You know, I mean, here we are, you know, in March and April. You know, you probably should have already planned out your season of summer. What's that like? You know, people are busy. Things change. Kids are out of school. What events are you going to have to try to help to combat, you know, to help that, for you to reach people? So you should at least be working a season ahead to know what's coming up and to get ready for it. It leaves you zero time to print anything, to put the word out, to promote anything. Like Luke said, when you're just thinking about just the next thing, and I haven't ever thought past Easter because it's in a couple of weeks, you know, and You know, well, guess what? Mother's Day is a, you know, is 1 month after that, and you're out of time already if you're trying to think ahead on it. So be intentional a little bit. Even if you can't be a full year intentional, then just be a season ahead. That will help you so much in the church planning world.
Yeah, that is huge. So, and you know, we talk about how it seems overwhelming to do a calendar, but like you said, I mean, here's what I've always said: if you're going to be planning if it's your first time ever sitting down and trying to plan your calendar for, you know, the next 12 months or at the coming towards the end of 2021, you're planning for 2022, and you say, I don't even know where to start. Well, like you said, when you think about, first of all, that's another reason I love thinking, that was one of the best mindset shifts for me, was to stop thinking about the year in four quarters and think about it in three seasons, because three is less than four. Even though it's the same amount of time, there's just something about it that's what makes it a little bit more attainable. So you can think of, you know, well, we've got Christmas in the last season, and we've got Easter in the first season, you know, okay, so boom, there's two things. And then I just say, hey, go in there and try to just think of, maybe think of one thing a month, just one thing for each month, you know, even if that is something, it doesn't have to be a big event either. It can be a sermon series or something like that. Like, hey, you know what, month of January, we're going to talk about, I'm going to do a sermon series on new beginnings. It's the new year, whatever. Okay, great. You know, February, we're going to do we're going to do an event that's about couples, whatever, because it's February, you know, it's Valentine's Day, you know, whatever, and so on and so forth. And so, it's something that it seems overwhelming, but, and the other thing you have to tell yourself too, and because I can be really bad about this, is just because you're sitting down to plan a calendar doesn't mean you're literally planning every event. Just write them out. Like I said, January, we're doing this. February, we're doing this. Just all you need, just literally like the title of the event or the idea for the event. You don't need to have much else to it. So yeah, that is, I feel like you and I, we circle back to the importance of planning a lot, but I think it's because you and I know it is because you and I, you being there on church staff, me working with several other churches, we see time and time again, how churches, they run last minute and it just makes everybody's life difficult. And that's why one of the first things that we do whenever we work with some of our higher level accounts is one of our first things we do is we train you in the mindset of planning, because it's so important.
Right. Especially when you're working with, like, if you have a big staff of people, you know, you can walk in there and go, oh, hey guys, we forgot, you know, this is coming up. We got to get on this. But that's not most people. Mostly you're working with volunteers, and you want to talk about frustrating volunteers, especially you're going to run away your best volunteers who are organized and they think whatever, if you're disorganized and you can't even, if you're just constantly in emergency state all the time, you're going to run away your best volunteers. They don't want to be involved in that. It's stressful. It doesn't make any sense, and it wastes a lot of people's time and energy.
Nobody likes to be in an environment or be involved in an organization, whether that's a church or even a business, because again, I do like to always take a step back from time to time and say, look, I'm not picking on churches, because this is just people. People tend to procrastinate. But nobody likes to be at a place, serve at a place, work at a place where they feel like they are constantly in emergency mode. When emergency is your normal, that's where you just wear people out and people burn out. They get involved, they're excited, but then they're done because they realize, well, everybody's always, you know, flying by the seat of their pants here. Everything's always short notice, you know, and nobody wants to live that way. And when you plan, it's amazing how it's kind of like, you know, just from a financial perspective, whenever you have an emergency fund, you know, and you're, you know, not to go Dave Ramsey on us, but you know, whenever you've got that fully funded emergency fund, like you're supposed to have the 3 to 6 months, whatever it is, it's amazing how many fewer things seem like emergencies, you know. And I think it's the same way with your time. When you have successfully budgeted your time and you've planned ahead, it's amazing how when a true emergency pops up, you're just kind of like, oh, okay, well, that's not ideal, but we can adjust, you know? So yeah, so much could be said there.
Everything you said is just perfect about that. And so you don't want to run away people, because then you look around and you're left with nobody, because you're the only person that can put up with your chaotic way of thinking about things. So, and that's true too, is I think that we try to overplan. So when, like what Luke said, when you're writing this out, don't worry about a bunch of details right now if you don't know a bunch of details about the event, or when's it going to be, or should we have it here? What's it's all right. Just put it on there as you get closer to it, you can have a lot better of a feel. But sometimes detail can be the enemy, right, of future planning, because we try to, we think that we have to detail too much, and you really don't. Even if you're ordering flyers for something, a lot of times you don't have to know a ton of details, or you can still be making the details for that event as it gets a little bit closer. It's fine. So,
And yeah. I'll throw this out there too. A lot of times when it comes to your promotion and marketing, less is more when in terms of details. People aren't, half the time people aren't as interested in the details as you think.
Right.
You know, and so yeah. Again, so much good stuff here. I feel like we could go on another hour about this, and maybe we will later. even though I think we already did an entire series at the beginning of the year. I know we did, about planning ahead, but you know, we just always circle back to it because it is key. It is key to success, and it is key to just not wanting to. You know, it's key to just not wanting to like blow your brains out, you know? I mean, it really is.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess we can stop talking about it when people stop doing it, right? Stop working last minute and everything. So
when you church leaders out there stop coming to me and say, "Hey man, Easter's in a week. Can you help me out?" You know?
Hey, listen, Easter's what? I mean, this year at the beginning of April, I talked to a lot of pastors at the beginning of March. "Hey, what are you doing for Easter?" "Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, we should probably start to getting plan. Yeah. You should start to get to planning that in January, but you're welcome for the heads up now that you have exactly 1 month to figure out what you're doing with the biggest day in Christianity, you know?"
Yeah.
So anyways, it's just, it is who we are. We're last minute.
People are busy. People tend to procrastinate, you know, and again, it comes back to that intentionality. If you're intentional about it, you can a lot of things, plan smoother, they run smoother. So yeah, intentionality is key.
Absolutely. At some point I would love to do just, a quick podcast, I guess, on just running in an annual planning meeting, because now that we do one, it's so fun, and we bring in volunteers and stuff too. So it's not just our staff. It's probably about 16 people now that we meet, in October.
Wow.
And we rented, just last time we just rented an Airbnb. No one stayed the night. We just, you know, just to have a place to go that was not at the church, and brought in food, and people talked about stuff, what went well, what didn't work well. Here's the events, and talk through a couple of those. You know, a lot of things we do are reoccurring at this point, you know, from year to year. We always go to teen camp. We always have Easter. We always have Christmas. But it allowed people to get, and it just creates that buy-in from your most important people, whether those people are paid or not. A lot of people are working from their heart, obviously, and that's good. And you just need to do things like that. And you'd be amazed in your church, even if you're just a staff of one or two, how many people in your church really are invested with their time and their heart. And they would love to go to some type of planning thing where they feel like you're investing in them, and you're in this as a team, you know? And then when that event comes around, they're going to be so much more willing to jump on board, because you're not just running around at the last minute with your hair on fire. You know, you've developed a plan, you've got them involved, you've invested a little bit of time and love in them. And I think any church of any size with any budget can spend some time just to sit down and say, "All right, let's just plan a little bit ahead, because we value you as a person, your input and your dedication to this organization." So that's a whole nother thing, but even in the mid-year, if you haven't done it yet, just take some time. Go on a Friday night or whatever, and just invest in your core leaders, because we all have those in our church.
Well, we've always said the summer is a great time to plan, because it is a downtime, and I know this actually isn't true for you guys. You guys actually have a pretty busy summer there. I think that has a lot to do with your part of the country and stuff. But anyways, you know, a lot of churches, you know, they don't plan a lot in the summers in terms of events and programs and whatnot. So for many, it's a great time to actually plan, start planning into, you know, January of 2022, I guess, at this point. And so, yeah, so again, so much there. And we keep saying, well, we keep implying that we should stop, but we keep going about this planning thing and beating this horse. Anyways.
If I could just say this one thing, just to keep beating the dead horse while it's down and then kicking it more and just, but like, we always think of New Year's Day, right, as this big time to challenge our church to try something new or whatever. And it's like, then January 1st comes and nothing's different. Like, the kids are still in school. It's still cold outside, right? Like, nothing has changed. I think that back to school is really the new New Year's You know, for churches or whatever, because, you know, as the kids, everyone's life revolves around family. If you're a grandparent, it revolves around the grandkids. They're the most important thing in your life, you know? And so I think that back to school is really when people should try new habits and maybe start going to church or be willing to try new things. And we kind of just let it go as a bump in the road because our calendar tells us, oh, the new year starts on January 1st. Mm-hmm. But it's more important what's going on in people's minds than what's going on on a Gregorian calendar set 2,000 years ago. So I think what you said is true. Having a planning meeting or some type of refresh coming out of the summer saying like, okay, as we go back into school, what are some things we need to tweak or do better or whatever else? That's really valuable, man. More so valuable than just flipping a calendar page to 2022. So anyways.
Yeah, I've even heard of another church I'm thinking of. They do, you know, a lot of churches, not all, but many churches do like a Vision Sunday type thing at the beginning, sometime at the beginning of the year. You know, nothing wrong with it. And, you know, that's when they say, hey, this is our plan for the year, whatever. But the thing is that a lot of churches, in fact, probably almost all of them, they really have no sense of, there's nothing really to hold you accountable to that. You just say, this is what we're going to do and whatever and all that. Well, this other church I'm thinking of, they do a Vision Sunday, but then they do, I forget what they call it. I think they call it like Fall Focus or something. But they turn around and do that like, you know, early September, right around that time when kids are back in the school, and they say, okay, now this is what we said we were going to do 8 months ago. Here's where we're at now. Here's, you know, they kind of tell you the progress that they've made. Here's kind of what we're going to do to finish out the year strong. I thought that was a great, you know, idea, because if nothing, it built in that accountability to the church. And I think they actually use it as, I think because of the way their fiscal year ends, it kind of winds up being their report, you know, that they have their annual report that they have to do on the finances and stuff. But which is always historically kind of a boring thing, and they make it exciting, you know, kind of like a celebration of all that they've accomplished and all that they are, you know, going to continue to do as they finish out the year.
That's a great idea. It allows you to sort of refocus, but then also to maybe take a look back, say, you know, we did this, we accomplished this in the first 6 months towards our goal. Here's how we can, like you said, finish strong. That's a really great idea. Because, I mean, let's be honest, most of the time, the theme you pick for that year, pastors stress so much. I see it on Facebook groups all the time. They stress so much about what our annual theme should be. And after February, no one could even tell you what it is. I mean, you're still putting it on your screens, which, you know, by the time you hit May, it doesn't make sense because someone coming new to your church, they don't understand, you know, what... you know, city capture or whatever you're calling it this year, even like
growing
means
in grace.
Anymore.
Okay, that's good.
That's nice. What is that? Is that the name of your church? So it doesn't make any sense. So to allow that refocus time for your core people who were with you in January, did see that vision rolled out. And let's be honest, a lot of pastors forgot what they said by May about what our top three goals were going to be, or we're going to do this different, because all of us have a great way of forgetting all of those resolutions that we said we were going to make in our personal life or in our church life, and they just fade away. So,
So I thought that was, like I said, a great way to just kind of check in. Yeah, I will say this about New Year's themes. Here's the deal, man. If you want to do one, do one. But here's what I encourage. I say, no. It's all about how you frame it. If you want a nice, new-looking, cool graphic for your new year, that's great. You know, cool. Let's just reframe it. Let's not promise that this is a new year theme. Let's call this a New Year's sermon series. Let's preach on it in January, and then let's forget about it. Not forget about it, but let's move on, and let's not call it the annual theme, because we all know that by March, that theme is well forgotten. And that's okay. You know, honestly, why do we expect people to get excited about something for 12 months straight? You know, I don't. You know, I lose
There's
interest.
No way.
And
There's
so
no
that's
way.
Why, again, that's just, that was free. This is all free. But that part was extra free.
There's so much stress about your annual theme, and it's,
yeah,
because
then what I get is I get pastors being so picky because, well, this is what we're going to look at all year. And I mean, I'm telling you, man, New Year's graphics, New Year's theme graphics are the biggest pain to design. They're one of my least favorite types. I shouldn't say this because people out there are going to be like, well, fine. I'm not going to use you anymore. Well, okay, whatever. Just don't be so picky. But yeah, that's the thing. Well, they're going to see it all year. And, you know, I mean, I've gone through one time in particular. I mean, we went through, oh man, it must have been 7 or 8 different versions of this New Year's theme. And finally, it was just like, hey, y'all, you're going to have to pick one because you're not going to have something to show on January because here we are, it's December. You got to get this. Anyways, that was a rant.
Knowing what to stress about is so important. But you know what? Actually, I can say all the churches that still have this thing out. You're actually the one that pointed this out to me. So for the first time, but you're so right. If you're still showing, we did that for our yearly theme. We showed every Sunday on the screens, 12 months. And then you're the one who got me to think, like, if a visitor comes to your church in April, in October, and they sit down, because it's very helpful to look at things through the eyes of someone coming to church for the first time, right? There's a lot of things that we do, and this is true of any, not just picking on churches, this is true of banks, this is true of everything. There's certain things we do that our people know what we're doing and what we're talking about. Outsiders do not. And so if you say we want to be a church that's friendly to guests, we want new people to come, but then your interior marketing and messaging does not align with that, then you're being hypocritical. And so someone that comes down and sits in your church in April looking up at the screen, they don't know what that is. Are you taking time to re-explain every single week what your theme is for the year and what it means? No, you're not. You did that the first, like Luke said, 4 to 6 weeks in a sermon series. You flesh that out. But after that, you're not looping back to it all the time. So it needs to sort of phase out. And if you want to look at it again in July or August to see how well you're doing and refocus, great, bring it up again. You have all that saved. But some things that we do, we hold on to, make sense for longtime members or faithful people, but not to someone that you're desperately trying to reach from the community. Yep. So yeah, it's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. And a lot of it has to do with going back to what you just said is, you know, when you are working on a church staff, you can tend to get very, you can get kind of inward focus without realizing it. Because when I was a creative director full time at a church, you know, I designed what I thought was, and now I look back and it was ugly, but I thought it was like the greatest New Year's theme design ever. And I came up with screen graphics, with social media graphics, with bulletin covers, all of these things, like everything, like a new outreach card, everything was themed around this New Year's theme. And, you know, I thought it was so cool because, like, every season I would keep the theme logo, but I would change the color of the bulletin. And, you know, but it's like, man, by the time you get to October, you're like, what is this? And it doesn't matter if you're walking in, even if you're walking into a church, you know, February and March, and somebody hands me a bulletin and it says the yearly theme on it, I'm gonna think, what is this? You know? So, you know, and it was when I stopped working there, I was like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. And you know, now I'm like, yeah, you know, if you are doing a bulletin, which many aren't anymore, but if you are still doing that, it needs to just say welcome to church. That's a great idea. You know, something like that. And your screens should probably say something similar. So I digress, but yeah, that there's, again, another one of those, just rants I could go on about, long time. Well, I think we are, that in mind, I think we are coming to the end of our time here. I know we've got to, you and I both have our respective meetings to get off to, but it's always good having Jeremy Lenentine, Church Media HQ official contributor, on with us. And as always, you will be back very soon.
Always good to be with you, Luke. Thanks, man. I love talking church, events, all that good stuff with you. And God bless you, man.
Well, thanks again for joining us right here at Church Media HQ. Until next time, I want to remind you, as always, you know what I'm going to say. In fact, you need to be the one saying it back to me. You know what it's time for. It's time that you try something new. Why? Well, because it is so much better to fail at trying the incredible than it is to succeed at doing just the average. We'll see you next time right here on Church Media HQ.